Welcome to this podcast with the Women's Network. My name is Kenya, and I'm 25 years old, and I'm here with Lois, who is 54. And we're really here to talk about some of the issues that are coming up in our culture around what it means to be a woman in the 21st century, and really to bring our two unique perspectives to this conversation, and to really uncover not only what it means to be a woman, but how can we step into our sovereignty and create a new way of being?
I always love the beginning of the year because I feel like it's this moment where collectively we actually give ourselves a moment to pause and think about where we are in our life, where we'd like to see ourselves in the next year, and really paying attention to a bigger cycle outside of our day-to-day. And I think here at the Women's Network, it's been a moment for us to pause as well. And we're getting really clear about who we are as a company, I think, more and more every day. And we're really giving ourselves a lot of permission to pause here. And one of the things that we have been talking about a lot lately is how free we really feel to be women and how core of a conversation this is to the Women's Network and to women, I think, at large. And so we're going to explore this today in this podcast and with a sort of underlying theme here of taking off the mask and what that really means and how we can do it. And this is really intended to be a resource and support for you to give you some ideas about how you want to really move into 2017. So Lois, I'd really love to first talk about what exactly it feels like when we're not fully being ourselves. And if you could maybe also give some examples.
Yeah, it's such an interesting question because I always say it's a little bit like, you know, we are only conscious of what we're conscious of. So it's hard. We think we're ourselves because it's whoever we are in that moment. And I think for so much of my life, I lived in a very masculine way because I so desperately wanted to succeed and perform. And I think I really believed that I was flawed as a person. And it took me a long time to realize that I felt like I was wrong for being a woman. You know, I kind of felt like I came in the wrong body or something. And that we live in a patriarchal system that honored male and masculine traits. And so I think without really realizing it, I definitely really suffered from the imposter syndrome when I was in business. And I always felt like someone was going to find me out and they were going to realize that I was not where I should be or not doing it right or, yeah, not playing by the rules. And so I think for me, like, what does it feel like when I'm not being myself? It's that really strong sense that something's not right or that I'm not right. And as I said, it's only really recently that I've been able to feel that in my body and make decisions and choices based on that. Before, I would just override all of those feelings and think I was crazy and there was something wrong with me and, you know, barrel ahead to do whatever it was that I was supposed to do to fit in and succeed.
Yeah, I think you are not alone in that feeling of needing to embrace some of our more masculine side to succeed or fit in or what have you, especially in business. When I first started a company a few years ago, and I'd be out networking and trying to connect with people and get some more clients, I really could feel myself talking to people in a very masculine way. And I couldn't really recognize it at the time. Actually, my body was really crying out for my attention after about a year of doing sort of startup life and I was having this severe back pain, and it was kind of centered around where my, like, the back of my womb. And I realized that my womanhood actually hurt. And I started going to Reiki and really beginning to understand that I had really pushed so hard to make something happen and always doing, and, you know, presenting myself in a certain way to people that would make them take me seriously, and really abandoning sort of my more authentic self. So that's when I really started to wake up to that. And when I actually also found you, Lois, in the Women's Network, is right around that time. And I think a really big part of this is our innate need to belong, which then somehow gets kind of warped and tangled up with this feeling of needing to be validated. And I think the voices in our head especially can convince us that we really need to be validated. And if we're not, then we're a bad person, or there's something wrong with us. And I have to say, when I feel least like myself, it's usually when I can hear the voices in my head criticizing me so intensely. And sometimes that then gets, like, projected out on other people, and I use my words to hurt other people, even if it's by accident, you know, usually by accident, when really I'm just talking badly on myself. You know, there's that saying, the way you talk to other people is the way you talk to yourself. And then I usually end up in this, like, big spiral of chaos until I go, okay, this isn't really who I am. And what's the truth here? And what am I just, what are the lies that I have in my head?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just feeling like, I think part of it too, is that there is this whole need for validation, and coupled with that, a need to hide. Like, I think there were so many parts of myself that I felt were fundamentally flawed, that I didn't accept who I was and how I was. And so I was trying to be what I thought other people needed me to be, or how I needed to be accepted by others. But really, it's a little bit like what you were saying. The problem was that I wasn't accepting myself. And so I was projecting it out to others and asking them to accept me because I didn't think I was acceptable. Then there were all those flawed parts that I had to hide and make sure nobody else could see, because I thought they're just not going to, you know, I won't belong or I won't be accepted if they can see who I really am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that really translates into pretty much every relationship we have, I feel like. And what's funny for me to notice sometimes is how much I shy away from conflict, and I have this sort of people pleasing quality that actually gets me into more trouble. Like, when I actually lean away from conflict and try to please people, it usually just manifests itself, and suddenly I'm in conflict. Whether if I had just been authentic and said, this is actually what's going on for me, or this is how I feel, then I probably would have avoided the mess in the first place. So it's like this self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Right.
That we are so afraid of what other people think, that then what other people think comes to bite us in the ass, kind of.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people are waking up to this, and there's so much talk around authenticity and vulnerability. And, you know, we love Brené Brown here at the Women's Network, and there's so many resources out there. So we can really step into our authenticity, take our mask off, and be ourselves fully. And I think we've just discussed a little bit about the sort of root of that issue. But I also think that there's a whole conversation around why this is so important right now. Why is all of this coming to light right now? And why is this such a hot topic? So I would love your perspective, Lois, especially from sort of your generation, of why it's such an important time to be ourselves.
It's just coming up for me right now when you asked me that there's been just a huge amount of, well, shame, a lot of shame that has been hidden in the shadows. And we've been doing these nurture circles. And I think that's the thing that I find the most healing in those, is that women get on there and talk about things that they didn't think there was any way they could share and they would still be okay, or they would be accepted. And they realize that when one woman shares it, and then you know, five or six other women go, oh, you know, I've had a different experience, but I can really relate to that. And I can hold you and be with that pain. We realize that so many of these things are systemic. And I think what's been coming out with the political situation here in the United States, and it's brought a lot of what we were assuming was our own individual flaws into the light, so we can see that actually it has a lot to do with the system being flawed, and that we've been kind of held down or held back or not been able to really be ourselves. And I think that's why it's more important than ever that women stand up and say, this is who I am. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not holding back anymore. Because, you know, what's the saying that it's basically we're as great as our darkness is as great as our light. And so I think there's just been a lot that we've been hiding, and there's so much that we need to bring through and shine and share. There's so much wisdom. I really do feel like now more than ever, it's important for women to really follow their own inner impulses, their own inner wisdom, and express themselves fully in the world. I'm also really interested with this generational differences. I think my generation, I mean, I fully felt like I abandoned myself as a woman and who I really was and what I needed to go into the corporate world and find a place for myself in that arena. And I feel like your generation, you know, everything is an evolution. So it was important that I'm 55, so it was important that we put our trousers on, our pants on, and went out there and tried to be as much like the men as we could. And I feel like your generation is kind of realizing, yeah, now we've got a lot of men, you know, running around, a lot of women who think they're men. And so I'm just curious your perspective on that.
Yeah, I think it's a really multifaceted question. And even as you were asking it, I was thinking about 10 different ways that I could take that. I think it's definitely true that I think women are really wanting, in my generation, really wanting to be empowered. And I think there is some confusion about what that really means. But I think there are, at least in the circles that I run in, a big awakening about us really needing to embrace our feminine power as opposed to masculine power. And that's what's really needed on the planet right now. At the same time, I think there's this interesting thing happening with gender roles. And I know more and more men, for example, who want to be stay-at-home dads, and more women who want to be the breadwinner. And so that also kind of throws things into the mix. And I think that's confusing for men and women alike in my generation, because we're kind of throwing the rule book out of the window, and that causes a little bit of chaos. So I think that it's really important within that chaos for my generation to really think to themselves, who am I and what is in my best alignment? Because I still feel like we are unraveling so much of this conditioning that's been passed down for generations, and the external world is kind of reflecting back to us that we are in a huge mess. And I think it's a little overwhelming sometimes. So mm-hmm. I think, and with the school systems putting so much pressure and parents putting so much pressure on children to succeed and make money and kind of be as successful as they were in the traditional terms, I think that really also is causing a lot of young people to kind of break under the pressure. On top of sort of the social media technology aspect, which just kind of brings a whole different level of validation into the mix. And, you know, so many young girls I'm seeing are really striving for more likes on Facebook, and somehow that gives them some validation. So I think what I'm really feeling more than ever is that there is a lot of chaos and confusion, especially about where we're headed as a collective. So I feel like it's really important to be ourselves fully so we can navigate that.
Well, and that just almost brings up, because I do this five rhythm dance that it's a wave, and chaos is at the peak of the wave, and then you go into integration. So chaos is actually where the change happens. And so when you were talking, I was thinking, well, that's about right, that we are feeling so much chaos, because if the system is going to change, we're going to go through that period, right? where mm-hmm. everything is kind of thrown up in the air so that it can settle back down and integrate into something else. Because you can't actually break the pattern. You have to shatter at some point. Mm-hmm. And I love this quote that I just saw this week, that maybe the journey isn't so much about becoming anything. Maybe it's about unbecoming everything that isn't really you, so you can be who you were meant to be in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is kind of what you were speaking to, is that we have to, you know, there's so much pressure on all of you to become something, to make something of your lives, to, you know, succeed. And it's like, maybe it's about really unbecoming everything that we've known to be true, so that we can be more authentic and more ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I love the language you just used there too, about we have to unlearn everything that we know. And I feel like when we're children, we're so authentic, so naturally authentic, because we don't really know much yet. We're just being ourselves. And we don't even necessarily have the words yet to describe the different things that we're experiencing. We're simply being. Mm. So I think we all intuitively know how to tap into that, because we've all been that. So it really is sort of this unlearning process that needs to happen to take us back to that place.
Right. Yeah. I think there's people that say that too. We spend the first part of our lives learning all this stuff, and then we spend the second part of our lives unlearning it.
So that we can
And I think, you know, those are the various practices that have become so popular in the recent times, like mindfulness and yoga and just being out in nature, but really tapping into an inner knowing. I think so much of our conditioning is about being outside of yourself. You know, from a very early age, you can see the parent sitting there with the little toy and shaking it in front of the kid and saying, see this, you know, come outside of yourself. And as you said, when we come into this world, we're very much in touch with who we are and just living in the moment and in that experience. And then we get all this conditioning, and it's like we then have to use those different practices and techniques to allow ourselves to just sink back into who we are and not be so concerned about the external validation and doing what everybody else wants us to do and being accepted, and really like getting to know ourselves. I keep using this term of really falling in love with ourselves, with that same kind of curiosity and sense of the unknown and so on that we would apply to anyone else that we're getting to know. Like when you first fall in love with somebody, you just want to spend time with them and you're curious about everything, mm-hmm. who they are and what they like and what makes them tick. And it's almost like that's the process of us really coming back to that kind of presence with ourselves and understanding what makes us tick and what are our desires and what are our dreams, and allowing ourselves to pursue those, or not, it's like allowing ourselves to receive that. Because I also really believe that if we put our intentions in our, you know, this is the time of the year where we can set those intentions. And then it's not so much about striving and having to create things, that there's something that the feminine is more about putting out the intention and then letting the universe co-create with you and receiving that. And I think that's such a different way of being in the world than how we've been conditioned.
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think this whole unraveling process really does help us to take off the mask and be ourselves. And I think for me, I think I really love this concept that I recently saw from Osho, that if we can identify with ourselves as the observer of ourselves and not actually with our thoughts, that's when we can really experience happiness and joy. because we don't take our thoughts quite so seriously. I think the minute we can embrace that curiosity and openness that you're talking about is the moment when we can just observe ourselves and realize that not every thought we have has to be taken quite so seriously. So if we catch ourselves thinking, oh, I don't want to do that because I feel like it's wrong, or, you know, I feel like there's lots of moments where I feel guilty for things that I'm doing, or because it feels like it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Even last night, you know, my husband gets home and he's like, what do you want to do tonight? And I'm feeling like, oh, I'm supposed to spend time with him and, you know, do something that he'll like or whatever. And I could feel those thoughts in my head. And then I said, actually, I'm going to take a bath. And I felt like so naughty and so guilty, but because it felt so wrong, it also felt good at the same time. So when I could like catch myself and observe that and then make a different choice, that I feel like is when I could really be myself. And I had the most amazing bath and really basked in my uniqueness as a person, you know? So I feel like being of the observer is one way we can do that. And I think mindfulness is a really great tool for helping people to really actually practice that.
Absolutely. And I know you and I both are big fans of Kundalini yoga, which is a different kind of meditation practice, but I think partly because you close your eyes for most of it and you really tune into your body, you know, the whole purpose of that is really about Sat Nam and the truth of who you are. And so, yeah, I think really understanding what is going to feel good to you is so important. And you've given two different examples, but they actually kind of play together, because the people pleasing, when we do something for somebody else that actually goes against what it is that we want, ultimately it usually bites both of us in the butt. because then we feel resentful or angry or whatever, right? Because we didn't do what we know we needed. And so I always say that I think we have been conditioned so strongly, especially as women, that it's selfish to take care of ourselves. And I actually think it's really selfish when we don't. Because the other person can't control, like they don't know what we need. But when we're not taking care of our own needs, other people pay the price, because ultimately you feel depleted and you don't feel good about yourself. So I love your example of taking the bath, because that's what you needed. And I think that might be a song, but it's something about when it feels so right, but it's so wrong. I mean, sorry, when it feels so wrong, but it's so right. Because I think so much of the conditioning, it's true that when things don't feel right, like when it feels like we're doing something wrong or that we're supposed to feel guilty or it's not what we should be doing, I think we're probably on the right path, because we're actually doing it from a place of a deeper understanding of what we really need. Mm. As opposed to the mind that's telling us, oh, you need to do that because that's what everyone else is doing or what you're expected to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. As you were saying that, I was remembering the times in my life where I've made a big change in my life in relation to who I am and what I see myself as, and make a really big choice that is in alignment with that. Usually somebody in my life, somebody close to me, reacts, and that can be really hard. And I think it's so important to have a good support system, because it's not always easy to be ourselves. And so I think that's a big thing that we're really wanting to give to the women in the Women's Network, because we really do want to support all of you. And our nurture circles are one really beautiful way that you can do that. And we have a few spots open in our calls in February if you're interested in joining any of those.
And I think you're also touching on our really core need to belong. And so it is really hard when you start changing and going against, kind of unraveling the conditioning and going against what the collective is kind of telling you is right. That can feel really lonely and difficult. And so that is very much a huge intention from the Women's Network, is to create a collective community, you know, of women who are like-minded and really supporting each other as we unravel and unwind the conditioning that is held us back in many cases from really unleashing our full potential and unleashing and expressing all of who we are. So the Women's Network is very much that safe place. That's what our intention is to create a safe space for you to explore and feel supported in discovering all of who you are and taking off those masks.
Gorgeous. Thank you everyone for listening, and thank you, Lois. This is a really gorgeous discussion to start 2017.
Yeah, and as always, I love for people to respond and share if this brought up different things for you. Would love to hear about how you practices that you use for discovering more of your true self, or challenges that you experience in going against the system and unraveling some of the conditioning. And we have a writer circle and lots of blogs and beautiful stories on the website. And I think that's how we're going to change, is by sharing our stories with each other. We inspire each other and we support each other by sharing our true selves and our stories. So I just encourage anyone that would like to share more of themselves with the community to become part of the writer circle and share with us.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Kenya. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening.